Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Every morning, Taryn Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for September 28th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today, Sharifa. How you doing, Sharifa?
I'm doing great, Taryn. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's been a slow week.
Ooh, molasses, frozen molasses. It's not moving anywhere.
These updates are, they're getting shorter. That's for sure.
I was like, I don't even know what we're going to talk about, but I wrote some things down. We'll try to sift through the feeds and see if there's something juicy there.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I expect this to be another relatively short one because we are here to talk about everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. It was day 54 in the house, and I think part of it too is that, like, normally even in a slow week, there's a lot of things that are going to, like, potentially happen in future weeks that's being set up, but because they don't know that a triple is coming, none of their plans matter all that much.
Yeah, well, they're all sort of setting up these, like, these macro plans of, mm-hmm. okay, well, we know that these four are going to stick together and we're going to go after maybe these couple people. Because there's so many conversations happening about wanting to go after Danny and Nicole that I think people feel comfortable that they don't need to strategize. And it's funny to me because on a normal season around this time, we normally see people talking about, oh, there's a double coming. We need to at least plan for a double, let alone a triple, but a double. And I don't know if I'm missing it, but I'm not really seeing any conversations about potential doubles happening.
You know, they've been planning for a double for like a month. And now that there's a triple coming up, they're I think they gave up. I think they were like, I don't know, maybe there's not one. They really haven't. They're really not planning specifically for a double, as far as I can tell. I think you're right.
I feel like if I'm in the house and a double still hasn't happened yet, I'm going to be like, well, it has to be this week. It has to be this week. But hey, I mean, let them live their best lives.
Yeah. Well, we started the day with Tyler and Christmas. They talked about wanting David to stay not only this week, but beyond just this week. And it's weird hearing them have this conversation because it's such a reminder of, like, how much they've drifted apart in the last few weeks that, like, they're still kind of flirting around this, like, so we might not go to the seven with the committee. We might actually keep David around, right? Yeah, I was thinking something similar, actually, that maybe we should keep David around and maybe he wins an HOH and takes a shot at somebody like, I don't know, Danny, Nicole. I don't know. That sounds good to me. Oh, man, it's good we're on the same page about this.
That was a peak impersonation of that conversation. You bring up a really good point, because you forget that they've drifted apart, because they seem to be so close at the beginning of the game, and she did a lot to try to secure that relationship with him. But Tyler now, I think what's surprising me is that I don't understand how Christmas isn't seeing what's coming in front of her. And the fact that, her relationship is starting to sever. And, how do you now have this conversation with Tyler and sense that there's distance between the two of you? And also the fact that keeping David in the game doesn't help Christmas. And she's not really making that connection. And you can see it in this conversation with Tyler.
Yeah, I think the way that Christmas sees the game right now is that she feels like, remember, she had a conversation with David last week that they've been showing on the episode a bunch, where she feels like she picked David up. And she did in that moment. David was like, ooh, I found a friend. I'm going to go after Danny and Nicole. This is great. But then she was so mean about the $10,000 that I'm not sure she's being able, I'm not sure she's holding on to David as much as she might think. But in her mind, I think she has picked up David more so than anyone else. She has Memphis and Enzo as the wise guys. Memphis, I think, is the person she's actually putting her eggs into, basket wise. So I think she feels like Tyler is in many ways like the Sam or Brett to her Tyler in level six, like the outdated, he's not as useful anymore. She's not going to go after him. She's glad he's on the same page, but she doesn't feel the need to really hold on super tightly, because he's going to be on the way out. He's old news. And she sees it as a battle between her and Danny. She doesn't quite realize just how anti-Christmas Cody is. She really doesn't realize, how anti-Christmas Enzo is. But to be fair, I don't even realize, I don't know why he's so anti-Christmas.
Surprised, because let's not forget that she said that he could put her on the block. And they had some sort of relationship, but now Cody and Enzo are both so vehemently trying to go after her when her targets are so clearly just Danny and Nicole. Correct me if I'm wrong, Taryn.
She's going after Danny and Nicole, and she's pretty. It would be she would go after Danny, Nicole, and Cody before any of Enzo, Memphis, or Tyler, and then maybe she chooses Tyler over Enzo at the final four, but I think she would even take David out before Enzo. She's loyal to her team. I think she would 100% want to go to final four with Enzo, Tyler, and Memphis. And that's pretty good for Enzo. Granted, most people want to go to the final four, final three with Enzo. So he's not exactly starving for options, but I still don't love this idea. I think the people he should be taking out are, Danny, David, and Nicole. Those are the people who are least likely to take Enzo far, in my opinion.
Well, I think Enzo's that player who's just so set up in terms of his relationships in the house. He has such a great relationship with Cody. He has a great relationship with Tyler. He has a great relationship with Memphis, with the men. And I think that from Enzo's position, however things are going to shake out, that he never actually has to be the one leading the charge, because his soldiers do it for him. He talks with Cody about potentially going after Christmas. Suddenly Christmas is a backdoor option. So I think that where Enzo's game is stemming from is that he's just sort of setting things up and letting the dominoes fall, and making sure that Danny and Nicole are not going to be the people that have power. Because right now they don't, not at all.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, Tyler, when talking to Christmas, does make sure to point out that, Cody has a final two with Nicole, for sure has a final two with Nicole. Don't buy into any kind of they're not that close, or he's catching on to some of the things that Nicole is doing. No, They have a final two. This is the second time in 2 days that that I've heard Tyler talk to Christmas about Cody in a way that is not like I'm loyal to Cody, which I think is interesting. I think that Tyler is looking at Cody as an endgame threat, not one he can take a shot at now because he still has to deal with Danny and Nicole. And then he probably needs to deal with Memphis. And that's kind of Tyler's problem, is that he's put into this corner. But I definitely do think that Tyler is he's probably going to start to work against Cody in the next couple of weeks. Now, the triple's really going to accelerate things, so he's not going to have a lot of time to. But he's trying to put in some work here with Christmas, trying to make sure she's aware of Cody's threat. And we'll see where that goes. To be honest, I don't think he's going to be very successful.
No, he doesn't have enough resources. His only potential resource right now is Christmas, who's actually going to make the move against Cody, but Enzo's not going to make the move against Cody. Memphis isn't going to make the move against Cody. Danny and Nicole, who are also Tyler's targets, aren't going to make the move against Cody. And it's interesting because we remember way back when that they were starting to bubble this sort of war right before Christmas won her HOH. And I've been waiting to see the tension sort of brew between them, because I think they... I don't know where Cody's at right now, but I know that Tyler recognizes that Cody is certainly a threat to his game. I just don't see how he's putting in the work to actually ensure that Cody is going to be a target beyond this conversation with Christmas, because no one else is going to want to go after him.
Yeah, and that's been, you know, apart from the week he was actually doing things, you know, I've been... disappointed in Tyler's level of like enthusiasm for the game, that he is not playing hard enough. That he came into the very first episode, we got the intro package from Tyler, and he said, I've learned my lesson. I made too many final twos. I can't make as many final twos this time. And I was like, that's scary, because that was definitely not your problem on Big Brother 20. Your final twos all voted for you in the end, dude. And I really feel like this time around, that has been his philosophy. And right now, in this part of the game, in his season, he was still he did kind of let Sam go, but he was still working on JC, on Brett, on Casey, on Angela. Like, he was making sure that he was in the position to move forward. And right now, it feels like he's just kind of... coasting on his previous position, still going after Danny after like 4 weeks. He's barely checking in with they're not doing a lot of like triple threat meetings, and he hasn't he's not having any final two meetings. I mean, he's talking with Christmas, but they're like, again, barely on the same page anymore. Like, who's your final two? And why don't you have at least one that you're like actively talking about final two with? And like, the problem with not having those final twos is that other people are going to assume that you do have one. And if you're not, that's why if you're Cody, you're looking at Tyler, he's like, you didn't make a final two with me. If you're Enzo, you're like, you didn't make a final two with me. Your Christmas, you're like, he made a final two with me, but whatever. And so on and so forth. So it's I feel like he's being way too passive here, especially with this triple looming where he could easily go home. But, you know, we're starting to see the seeds of this Cody Tyler battle again. But this time it feels like Cody has a whole army and Tyler is just kind of like, arr.
I think the shift and Tarany, let me know what you think about this hot take. But I think the shift for Tyler really happened when Christmas won HOH, that whole week. Because I really felt that Tyler was positioning himself the best out of anyone in the game. And then I think he made a mistake letting Christmas go after Bailey. I think he allowed personal feelings to be the reason Bailey went home, because Bailey would have ridden for him, especially if he had taken out Day, at least in my opinion. I think Bay would have been on the side. Mm-hmm. And then he decided he wanted to quit. And after that, we just haven't seen that fire from him that we saw in BB20 when he was putting in work. And he's an extraordinarily skilled player. I think he's a better player than Cody. But you're right, he's not putting in any work right now. And I think he's just sort of checked out.
Yeah, I do. I think it's so, I mean, you know, I think there's a combination of things that have led to this point. One is that he trashed his own game that week by admitting faults, like by overly admitting faults at times to Bailey and Devon, who then talked to David, and just like his relationship with David was ruined. His relationship with Danny was ruined. His relationship with Christmas was damaged, and he's still trying. Like he still is like, he hasn't been able to repair those because it was such a big and like personal and real thing. On top of that, that was around the time the Wall Yeller outed his final two with Christmas, which meant they can't talk as much because people know about it. And even though they don't talk as much, people still know about it. And it has really put him into even more of a corner. We always said in the early portion of the game that Tyler was not in the best position within this power structure, but he had a couple of secret weapons, Christmas and David.
Yeah.
Christmas has been disarmed because it was outed and it's starting to deteriorate, and David has been lost. And maybe he's just barely now starting to get David back a little bit, but it's probably going to be too late, too little too late. So those two things combined with this more passive play style, where he needs to be even more active than he was in Big Brother 20 because he's got more to overcome. And instead he's going in the other direction, being a little more too passive. And that's, I think, what has led to where Tyler is right now.
Yeah. And I think something too is that I think it got into his head how he treated people last time, or how the game made it. You talked about it, how personal it was, what the game made him do. And I get that. Like, just playing these from a completely different standpoint, playing these orgs, it's hard when you're making personal relationships and you're consistently breaking up. So I understand where Tyler's coming from. I just wish that he would get a little bit of that fire back, because when his back's against the wall, he's extraordinary. And I think in this scenario we could see some really wonderful gameplay from him, but it does feel like he's given up. And about his relationship with David, in the complete opposite era, we see Cody doing nothing but trying to nurture a late game relationship with David when he hasn't really had one with him, a little bit but not too much. And so it's really interesting to see Cody be putting in that work to ensure he has these relationships, in contrast to Tyler, who's just not doing that.
Yeah, well, I think what's funny is that, I mean, Tyler still does have a chance to win this game, especially if he comps his way out. And if Tyler wins Big Brother 22 playing a worse game than he played in Big Brother 20, I think that would be kind of funny. Anyway, Cody's going to talk with Enzo, and he talks about wanting Christmas out next. This is part of the conversation that we've been having about who's targeting who in the triple. Cody would target Christmas. The problem for Cody is that nobody else would target Christmas in the triple. Only Cody would. And Cody's not going to be competing in part one of the, assuming there's two parts. Cody's not going to be, if it's a Big Brother Canada triple, then he's not competing at all in this triple. But Cody would want to target Christmas, but nobody else is competing that would target Christmas other than Danny. It's basically everyone against Danny. If Danny wins, then she would put up like Christmas and Tyler or something like that. Then Cody would have the votes to take out Christmas, but nobody else wants to. And Enzo is basically like, yeah, I'm kind of hoping Nicole wins, and then she goes after Memphis. And Cody was like, yeah, she would go after Memphis. And he's like, great. I don't trust the wise guys, yo. That's it. And this is where I'm again a little bit confused about like why he would want Memphis to go in that spot. But he wants her to go after Memphis. Cody says he would prefer Nicole go after Tyler at this point. Like that, he feels like that's better for him. Like I said, there's this Cody Tyler thing is happening. But Enzo says, Tyler's not coming after us, yo. I don't want that. Memphis has got to go. Yeah, that's it.
I think with Enzo, it's hard to read what he's actually feeling sometimes and what he's just saying. And because, Kevin really clocked it. We saw that. He's a mirror and he parakeets what someone is saying back to them, but he'll also try to shift them in a certain direction. And if he is going after Memphis, like really and truly, that just feels like a mistake, because I don't think Memphis has any plans of going after Enzo before final three. Like, it seems like he's willing to go to final four with them. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, Memphis wants Enzo in the final two, and that's a probably winning spot for Enzo, which is why I feel it's one of the reasons why Enzo's in such a killer position, despite kind of like also kind of coasting, like not actively creating his own end game, is that he kind of fell into a great spot when Memphis approached him. And it's weird to me that he wants to actively blow it up. You know, trying to get into Enzo's head, I'm wondering if part of this is that he worries that like that Memphis and Cody are closer than he thinks. Mm. That like when he told Cody about the wise guy's lie thing, Cody's reaction was like to smile and be like, that's amazing. Like, that's so funny. He wasn't betrayed by it. And he didn't feel like it was a problem. And I wonder if Enzo wanted him to think it was a problem, so that he could feel like it's me and Cody and not me, Cody and Enzo, me, Cody and Memphis. And maybe he felt like, that because Cody wasn't getting mad at Memphis, maybe that's a problem. But it's hard to know. It's hard to see. Like in the episode, his explanation was Memphis and Christmas, they're full of doo-doo, yo. That's it. And so, like, I don't really know what that means strategically. So I don't know where Enzo's head is at with this. I can see maybe why he wants Christmas out. I think Chris, like I said, I think Christmas, like, at the Final Four would turn on Enzo over maybe Tyler and Memphis. But taking Memphis out, who seems to genuinely want him in the Final Two, is not... not it, I think.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is he is playing such a passive game in terms of, like, executing his strategy. He's playing such an active game in terms of building his social relationships and ensuring that his people are with him. And you're absolutely... I agree that I think there's a part of this where he is trying to ensure that Cody and Memphis are not more close to each other than they are to him. Now, whether he's actually going after Memphis, I don't know. But I don't think Cody, I don't think Enzo actually needs to know, because I don't see Enzo trying to win an HOH to make these nominations to have an actual target, because he doesn't need to. He's going to be taken very far regardless. And if he does continue to play a passive game, I think he's going to have a strong case against anyone just because he has built so many strong social relationships with a lot of those people who are going to that jury.
Yeah, it's a weird spot. Now, I mean, if we take the same sort of lens with Enzo, what he said in the preseason was that his mistake last time was that he took too many competition beasts to the end and he couldn't win his way to the final two. And maybe with that in mind, maybe he's thinking like Christmas, Memphis, like these people, they're good at competitions. I want them out. I think the one person that Enzo actually does want toward the end is Nicole, because he thinks he can beat her in competitions. And that's been partly Cody's work as well. Cody's been putting in a lot of work with Enzo to get him to trust Nicole. I do believe that Enzo is okay with Nicole. He has to be, because he's going after Memphis and Christmas and Danny. He's not talking about Nicole anymore. And so I would imagine that Enzo's Final Four is probably looking more like Cody himself, Tyler, Nicole. Maybe something like that. Maybe David's thrown in there as well. He's certainly been trying to work on David a lot. Maybe he swaps out Tyler for David or something like that. But then he's got at least one or two people that he knows he has a good chance of beating in the end, in competitions. I mean, but it's so hard to tell. And his diary rooms are so, generic in terms of, he's talking about, you know, 80-inch screen TVs, instead of, you know, what his end game plans are. Not that we ever get end game plans, but.
Well, if his strategy actually is, if he's nervous about the fact that last time he lost because he couldn't combat his way to the end, then he's still working very tightly with Cody and Tyler. So if his plans are to go to the end with people that he can beat, he needs to start being active about it. And he's just not doing that. So I have to imagine at this point in time that he is relying on the relationships that he's building to carry him to the end. Because... well, and maybe we'll see it. I just don't see him making any like active moves to really secure his position versus just building relationships, which is valid.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's weird because he's like, he's not the kind of player that is usually able to convince other people to do what he wants. Like, he's a very like Enzo is a parasite the right word? Like, he will latch on and just like suck the life out of people. It's not a parasite, because it's like a symbiotic relationship. He strengthens the alliance that he's a part of, but he has no control over where it goes. And he tends to throw competitions and just kind of like, he's just along for the ride. And he survives, and that's what Enzo's really good at. But trying to be in the driver's seat, trying to actually make moves, is sort of what he's not good at. He's not a pusher. He's not good at getting things to happen. And he throws HOHs. So he doesn't do them himself. So he just kind of is reliant on the positioning that he puts himself in. But at the same time, he doesn't seem content with just kind of going with the flow. He wants to push. It just doesn't seem to work. And the direction he wants to push seems to be actively the wrong direction for his game at times. So it's like he's a hard one to figure out here.
I would be curious to see if in this late game that Enzo really starts to fight for these HOHs and to make some power moves, whether they're the right move or not. I'm interested to see if he's actually going to try at the very least, because if I'm in Enzo's position, I don't need to. I just make sure that the people that who can win competitions are going after the people I need them to go after. And he has done that to a degree. Like, he's having these conversations with Cody to make sure he doesn't trust Danny. He's having conversations with Tyler to make sure that he doesn't trust Danny. So he is setting himself up in that way to ensure at the very least that his biggest targets are being targeted by most of the house.
Mm-hmm. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. Well, Kevin and Danny are going to talk. This is going to be a big topic of conversation for Kevin throughout the day. That what a terrible thing for David to have done, to take the $10,000. Kevin says it was a $10,000 mistake. And I was like, wouldn't it be a $500,000? Isn't that this? Like, it's a $500,000 mistake to have taken the $10,000.
Yeah.
It's not a $10,000 mistake, because he literally got $10,000. The $10,000 reward.
I mean, it's all Kevin has at this point is to like try to, because he saw like after the veto competition, people were livid about David taking his $10,000, which got him way too extra, by the way. But he gauged that everyone was annoyed by this, and he saw it as his point of entry for potentially staying this week. So he is driving it into the ground, and I don't hate him for it. I would say I'd probably be doing the same thing.
Yeah. That's always been, you know, Kevin typically will do anything he can. And he's survived so far, but it doesn't seem like it's going to work this week. Danny says, I would love to see Devon's reaction. She's basically implying like, you're so lucky you get to bring the DVDs today and see her reaction to him taking the $10,000. She's going to be so pissed.
I wish that Kevin was gauging that this relationship he has with Danny is not taking him far, and that he, because I feel like his only move at this point is to not try to get Danny's vote, because she clearly doesn't have power, but to go to others and throw her under the bus. But he's not gauging that. And it's so unfortunate because I think he's like, this is the one vote I might have.
It's such a trap always that like when you're on the block and you tend to gravitate toward the other people in the house that don't have power because you have no power and they have no power. And they're like, let's hang out together and commiserate about the fact that neither of us have power. And now Dani thinks that she has power. And that's part of the problem. But like Dani has continued to buddy up with the person on the block, which should tell Dani something because that is a common symptom of not being in power is that you are the person that buddies up to the person on the block. But it should also tell the person on the block something that every single time Dani has, you know, been in this position, including her own HOH week when she was buddied up with Ian, that person has gone home. And it's literally being used as an argument that, hey, Dani is campaigning for this person, which means that person needs to go. And it can seem counterintuitive, but sometimes you need to turn down a vote for you to stay. Sometimes you need to be like, you know what, Dani? Does everyone hear this? I don't want your vote, Dani. You're working with people. You betrayed Day. You betrayed Ian. I don't want to work with you. Yeah. I hate you, Dani. I'm coming for you. Like that would give him much better odds of staying than anything else he could do with Dani.
Yeah, well, I completely agree. And I've been wondering, like, why he hasn't tried to instigate something to show the entire house where his cards are, because that's what he needs to do. But this game, All Stars 2, has been so much of just, like, placating people while you're sending them out the door and people just eating it and not trying to really fight it. And it's so frustrating because I want to see that BB11 Kevin fire here and him, like, remember when he told that lie to Jeff about Russell and it's the whole reason that Jeff targeted Russell? Where is that Kevin? Say something to somebody else, put them on some other target. But he's just, it's not that he's not fighting, he is, but he's just not being creative about it. And because of it, he's not, I don't think he's seeing that going after Dani is his only option at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dani tells Kevin that he should patch things up with Cody. He agrees. And so he goes to Cody and he says, hey, Cody, I owe you an apology. I'm embarrassed because you were making valid points and I was getting bothered by it. And Cody says, I get it. You're going on the block again. You're understandably frustrated. I wasn't reading the conversation right either. It's a very we were both in the wrong. Let's move on kind of conversation.
This conversation was really frustrating for me to watch in terms of I just know what it feels like in terms of Kevin's position, where I don't think Kevin was wrong in calling out Cody. I think he said everything that he needed to say. And I think he called out a lot of Cody's BS in a way. Like, if you look at that just raw conversation that they have, I support Kevin personally. And watching this moment is hard because Kevin is in this position where someone who has wronged them, and I do think that Cody's wronged them, has power over him. And so the only thing that he can do at this point is to suck it up, go to Cody and make it, and whether he believes this or not, and I don't know what Kevin is feeling right now, but like apologize to the gods because he isn't in a position of power. And it makes me feel so much for Kevin right now that he's having to do this because, like, the person who has been ensuring that he's in a bad position has power over him. And the only thing he can do is try to placate them. And I just feel awful for him.
I mean, it's very much a reflection of, I talk about this all the time. It's very much a reflection of society that you know, even taking the point that they're both in the wrong, Kevin is the one that has to initiate this apology because Cody doesn't have to because he's in power. And that is the nature of this particular game, but it is also something that happens outside of this game all the time. And I do think that because like Kevin has talked to other people about like I think the making valid points thing, I think he means that because he was saying that he was like, and he mentioned that Ian said this thing. And I was like, oh my God, that's the truth too. Like, I can't believe Ian did that. That's because Ian was a big part of the conversation. Yeah. that Cody was mentioning that Ian, and I talked about this when we talked about the conversation, but that Ian, when he was having his whole revelation about the octopus, that Thursday when the feeds were down, he apparently just like ratted everything out to Cody and Nicole about Kevin and all the people he talked to. And then the week that Ian was on the block, he told Cody that, oh, Kevin and them can't realize that you're a vote for me because then they won't vote for me. And so that was a big reason why Cody was so aware of the fact that Kevin was coming for him. And Kevin was like, I can't even argue against that because it's completely right. So I do think that that bit of it at least was genuine. But I think you make a good point that like this is something that Kevin has to do when he might otherwise, like, just because he was in the wrong in one regard does not mean that he was completely in the wrong in all regards. But he's the one that has to suck it up here and go and talk to Cody.
Well, and I just think there's points, for me, it further exemplifies certain points I kind of brought up, you know, especially when you stated that, like, Cody has privilege in this game. He does. I feel that Cody has sort of played this game on easy setting. Not saying that he isn't skillful, not saying that he isn't a good player, but I do feel that he came in with more resources, or he had more resources from the start of the game than someone like Kevin, who I think has played this game on very hard mode or veteran, mm-hmm. or whatever that, you know, whatever version that is, extremely difficult. And once again, Kevin is in a powerless position, and yes, I forgot about that conversation, and Ian did a lot to sort of mess up Kevin's game, which is really frustrating. But that's what this season has been. People on the bottom have been scurrying and burying the other people on the bottom, not realizing that it's not helping their position because they're trying to placate this majority.
Yes, and Sharif and I actually did a podcast about the diversity in casting in these shows, and in that podcast we talk in more detail about difficulty setting that the players are playing. And I agree. I think Kevin probably had the highest level of difficulty coming into this season of anyone. He probably even more so than David.
Yeah, I mean, it's been such a long time since he played, and he is a queer man of color. He's also a queer biracial man of color. He is half black, but that's never been a point of entry in terms of his relationships with David, with Bailey, with Day. He's always sort of been the only one, and it's been heartbreaking for me to watch him, especially as someone who's also biracial, to watch him like try to like make any sort of like relationships and connections, and they get stomped out immediately. So my heart breaks for Kevin, and I get that people see that he whines, and you know what? You in his position, you probably whine too.
He was mean to Kacer. That's my issue. No, with
he
Kevin.
Was.
Yeah.
Absolutely, 100% not arguing about.
Yeah.
I was mad at him for that.
Other than that, though.
Well, it was, once again, was people on the bottom burying other people on the bottom, thinking that it's going to win them favor when it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cody's going to talk with Memphis. Memphis lets Cody know that that Christmas was concerned with about being the replacement nominee if somebody used the veto, because she was concerned that that Danny was going to get in Cody's ear, that like that she was going to go up on the block, and she really didn't want it to happen. And Memphis is letting Cody know that she was worried about it. So this is something that like Cody has been trying to figure out, like, who is feeding Christmas information? Like, she said that a bunch of that four people came to her and said that she was, you know, that Danny was coming after her. And now she's like aware of the fact that she was a potential renom. Like, who could have told her? His instinct would say Tyler, but Tyler didn't know. So how would Tyler have found out? So he's trying to figure out like who told her. And the obvious answer is like, it has to be Danny, right? Like, Danny knew about it, and Danny is just the one that that spreads information all the time. Now, I think Christmas just was guessing. And she was guessing correctly. But he's like, man, who told her? But so Cody's plan is, okay, at some point this week, I'm going to tell Christmas that Enzo was the person who would have gone up on the block if the veto had been used. Just straight up lie about that and say Enzo was the choice.
I think for Cody, something that can be a weakness of his is sort of falling into like these red herrings. Like he sees this person and someone like Enzo puts all the blame on them and he buys it. Enzo was really pushing that, like, yo, it's Danny. I'm not going to do your impersonation because I don't want to step in your territory.
I'd love to hear others.
Oh God, no. Mine would be so bad. It's like, yo, Danny, it's yo. Oh God. No one repeat that ever. But Enzo was the one who's been really pushing distrust between Cody and Danny, which for me, I wish that he didn't fall into buying all of that when it's being sold to him, because I really do think that Danny is loyal to Cody and has been loyal to Cody and sees Cody as one of, if not her ride or dies. But Cody is buying what everyone else is selling about how toxic Danny is, how much of a schemer Danny is, despite the fact that she hasn't hurt his game. She's actually helped his game to the detriment of her game.
Yeah. I mean, Danny is the best thing that has happened to Cody all season long, that that she not only is loyal to him, but more importantly, and he has fed into this, but like she has served as the buffer, like the shield that he has, that everyone is distracted with Danny. People like Tyler and Christmas and Enzo and Memphis and even now David, like everyone is looking, even Nicole looking at Danny. And as long as they're looking at Danny, they're not looking at Cody. I mean, she's honestly like been the MVP to Cody's game. To have somebody that's like completely loyal to you, yeah, and also you can trash talk and use as a shield all season long.
Yeah. I mean, and it's tragic because Danny burned her game alive for this man. I mean, putting up Ian, for me, that was the moment Danny lost the game.
Yeah.
And that was because of Cody. And credit to Cody, he got her to do what he needed her to do. So good for him. But it's just hard to watch him trash her when I'm like, damn, that girl has done everything for you and you don't care. She got you the corsage and you're still not taking her to prom. So,
yeah. I mean, it really is like that moment during Aunt Danny's HOH when she was like begging him to stay in the room so that they could hang out is like the perfect encapsulation of their relationship.
Yeah, well, it just makes me wonder why she is fighting so hard to, like, to have this game relationship with Cody when I don't understand how the people in the house are not feeling that loyalty from him yet are still writing for him.
I think for Danny, like Danny's always been, like she had a reputation for turning on her allies in Big Brother 13, but like, she didn't choose those allies. Like she didn't want to be with them. She turned on them pretty quickly because they weren't the people she gravitated to. Beyond that, like she is super loyal to the people that she works with. And she was super loyal to, obviously like Dom and Kalia and all of them. I think we talked about this, before the season started, she works with the people she likes. And when she was at the start of the season, she said, I like you. I really like you, Cody. And so I think she chose her people. She had her plan, final three, Cody, Nicole. And she, I think more, even more importantly than that, she feels like she's in the best position of the three, that she, Cody and Nicole made a point of this week one, week two. Danny thinks that she's the go-between between the two of us. Let's let her think that. Let's make her think that she's in the middle of the two of us. And that has been what Danny has thought all season long. And that's why she feels like that's her ideal final three, because she thinks both will take her to the end and that she can win against either of them. And that has been, I think, the biggest blind spot, that Cody and Nicole came together weeks ago and finally locked it in like nah, we're not going to let her do that. And she still hasn't seen it.
Well, it's just, I mean, you look at BB-13 and you see how like ride or die loyal people were to her. Like, not just how loyal she was to them, but how loyal they were to her. Mm. Kalia would have died on the sword for Danny. Portia would have died on the sword for Danny. And I have to question how Danny is not gauging that these relationships are not as strong as she thinks that they are. I mean, the fact that Nicole is trash talking her, it's like, how are you not picking up that when you're having a conversation with these people, they're giving you 1 to 2 word responses? Like, it's upsetting to see her sacrifice relationships that she did have in terms of Day, in terms of Ian, when Janelle. She's keeping in. And Janelle, who was, like, Janelle was never going after that girl. But she's just had such blinders on the season. It's heartbreaking. I want to say BB-13 Danny was one of the most iconic things that we've seen. Yes. Did she burn her relationships a little too quickly? Yeah, a little too quickly. But she still made it very far. And she's just been so nervous about making her same mistakes that she's not, I don't think she's listening to her gut. Because she's not trusting the right people. Mm-hmm. We see that with Cody trash talking her. We see that with Nicole trash talking her.
Yeah. Well, Kevin's going to talk with Christmas. They talk about how dumb it was for David to take the $10,000. This is basically Kevin's campaign at this point. Cody, Enzo, and Tyler talk, and Cody lets them know about his plan to tell Christmas that Enzo would have been the replacement nominee. Enzo's like, yo, but that would have been a bad idea.
Well, but then Cody is like, no, I would have done that, which is like, no, you wouldn't have. And he scares Enzo the hell out.
Yeah. So I think that Cody was saying that because it was in the presence of Tyler. But like, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what was going on there. But they're talking about it. They can't believe that Danny still doesn't know that everybody's turned on her. It has been like half a season at this point. If anything, it's like, I think maybe part of it too is that like, when she found out that everyone was turning on her, like nothing actually happened. Like Tyler was like, I was just trying to quit. Cody was like, I didn't want to ruin things. Enzo was like, I didn't know you. It was none of my business. It's like her default state has been that nobody has trusted her. So like there wasn't a big shift to notice, right?
True.
Yeah.
Very valid. This has been what her game has been the whole time. That I did not take that into account.
Yeah. And she's been safe the whole time. So like you kind of learn through experience. And so she just probably feels like, well, this is just how this cast operates.
Well, but even within that, like, Danny, I think, is extraordinarily strategic, especially for this cast. And I have to ask her, like, if she's to map out her end game, what does it look like at this point? Because even she does know that if Memphis or Christmas get power, that they're probably coming after her. She doesn't know that Enzo is coming after her. And Tyler as well. She has to know that Tyler's going to come after her too.
She actually does not know that Memphis is coming for her. That she mistakenly believes that she's got Memphis on her side.
Why did I feel like there was, maybe it was a conversation between Christmas and Tyler that I'm misinterpreting as a conversation between Memphis and Christmas.
Memphis is coming for her. She just doesn't think it.
If she wins HOH, I know she was planning on going after Christmas. Who were her secondary nominees?
So, Tyler would be the backup for sure. That she would either do Christmas and David with the target being Christmas, or she would just do straight Christmas Tyler, I think.
So she doesn't know. Okay. So in her head, it's just Christmas and Tyler she needs to worry about right now.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, girl. Oh, baby girl. I'm just really curious to know what she thinks her end game is, because if I'm her, I don't see a path to the end, which way or whatever. But then again, I'm also a viewer who's watching all the feeds and I'm not in that house. So it's easy for me to say that.
Yeah. All right. Well, the feeds go down for a while here. And then by the time they come up, there's nothing really going on. I'm not sure what was happening. They seem to know that the feeds were down. So I don't know what was going on there, but not a ton of game talk afterward, just a little bit more of Kevin campaigning. He talks to Enzo about how disrespectful it was for Kevin or for David to take the money. And Kevin talks about trying to get votes to stay.
If I'm Kevin, I think they all know the game. When the person who's on the block who's going home comes to you, you sort of placate them. You have generic conversation. You don't lock anything in. Kevin has seen this happen since day one. This is now happening to him. It should be lighting a fire under his butt to do something. And it's not. He has to know he doesn't have the votes. He says it right now that he's going home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean he's trying, but and he thinks there's a possibility, but
Well, I mean we talked about this already. He's using the one tool he thinks he has, which is that David, you know, took this $10,000. Which, you know, David, get your $10,000. I'm so happy for him that he did that. But you know, that's the one thing that he has, and he's beating it into the ground. And I just, it's not making sense to me how he's not gauging that people are not reciprocating that in the way that he intends or wishes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure part of him realizes that, like, because he's pretty down this week in terms of like, yeah. He sees the writing on the wall. You know, we'll see. We'll see where it goes. We will very likely see Kevin leave on Thursday still. Still, I think some room for these triple eviction scenarios to shift over the next couple of days. We'll definitely keep an eye on that. Anything else you wanted to bring up, Sharifa?
No, we dived into all the stuff I wanted to talk about. There's not much going on in this game right now, so I'm glad we found some nuggets.
Yeah, this really was like deep analysis on every conversation that actually happened, because those are all the conversations. So, yes, thank you guys for joining us. Sharifa, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @SharifaYasmin_. I tweet about Big Brother a lot in social justice, so come on, follow me for entertaining memes.
There you go. You can, of course, find me on Twitter @ArmstrongTaryn or on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I will be live a few times this week, especially during the triple eviction, so make sure you check that out. And then I'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. Also, today will be The Slop with Rob and Chappelle, I think, is going to be on. So that's very exciting. And then tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, the Stockwatch Roundtable. That's where I really want to dive into all these triple eviction scenarios. We'll rate the players. We'll have some fun. Check it out. And that's what I got for you. So thank you so much for joining us.
Bye, everyone.
See you next time.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.